Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. Amen. I'm sure that we can all attest to that. We do thank you once again for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginning Ministries. We're here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And we do thank you for being a part of this blog radio. We are an interactive Blog Talk Radio, and we have so many men and women of God that come on to share the Word of God. And we do thank you for tuning in, all those of you that are listening by internet. If you would like to call in and participate, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. And by internet, it's Blog Talk Radio. Then you can type in We Can Begin Again, and you can connect to us by internet. Amen. This evening we have a minister from out of Atlanta, which is returning again, and he's going to be sharing the Word of God with us, and we're going to be attentive, and we are praying that we are able to feed off the Word of God. Amen. For those of you, if you have any questions at any time, please hit number one, and you will, we will pot you on so that you can ask any questions that you would like. Amen. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta, Georgia. Father, we thank you for this day. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for this opportunity for all of your children to be able to come together just to lift up the name of Jesus. We do thank you. Father, as we come lifting up those who are sick and afflicted. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who have lost loved ones. We pray a special prayer for Pastor Mixon from out of New York, for her family. We pray that you would bless them in a mighty way, that you would give them peace in the midst of this storm. We also pray for Brother Stuart Hawthorne. We pray that you continue to heal his body. We pray for Lula Pearl Hines, and that she would continue to allow God to rest upon her and give her strength. We thank you, Father. And if there's anyone that we left out at this any time, Father, you know our hearts, you know our minds, and we ask that you would just work according to our prayers. We know that when prayers go up, blessings come down. We anxiously receive and await the victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to, right now, we're going to open up our mics, and we're going to minister Bill, are you there? Minister Robinson, are you available? Can you hear us?
I'm here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my brother. It's good to have you back with us.
Thank you.
We do have the mics open for you. In fact, I have opened all of the mics, and if there's any questions as we go through our Bible study, we have all the mics open at this time. Again, Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta, Georgia. And my brother, we're going to turn it on over to you, and we're looking forward, anxiously looking forward to being blessed as we come together on one accord. Amen?
Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to continue on what we started last week, and we're talking about Abraham and Melchizedek, and we're going to get back into who Melchizedek is. And we want to first start with Genesis 12. And basically what God had said in Genesis 12, he's moving Abram before he becomes Abraham. He's Abram. And Abram takes his cousin a Lot, and he leaves his father's house. And verse 12, it says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram has a big task in hand because, you know, getting ahead of ourselves, he becomes the father of many nations. So, First of all, he has to be a willing vessel. And, you know, when God speaks to us and we know it's God, you have to be a willing vessel. See, sometimes we hear the voice of God and we question if it is God. But you know if it's God because he will assign you something that is correct. See, so Abram knew it was God, and he left, and he took Lot and his wife, Sarai, and they took all their possessions, and he took some of his servants with him, In verse 6, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site, the great tree of Moab and Sechem. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now, that was a custom, you know, when God spoke and they build an altar. That was a custom that they did back then. They built an altar a lot of times when God spoke to them, so, and they felt mm-hmm. blessed. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to skip over to verse 13. Let's stay in. I'm just going to run through briefly the verse 12. Basically, what happened? There was a famine in the land, and they entered Egypt. They left the other land and went to Egypt. Now, again, what I said last time, sometimes we get ahead of ourselves, and God can call us to do something, and sometimes we try to get ahead of God, and we go ahead on and move on. So, now, although one thing about God, when God do something, he's already set it up. He foreknows. There's no thing where God will say, oh, I didn't think of that. He already thought of everything. So when he do anything, the pattern is already laid. See, so all our mm-hmm. lives have been measured out to the end of the earth. So he already knows our destiny. He foreknows everything. So in this mm-hmm. chapter 12, there was a famine in the land. So Abram took his family and his people. They went to Egypt, and when they got to Egypt, Pharaoh presided there, and Pharaoh's people seen how beautiful Sarai was, and when they seen how beautiful she was, Abram immediately knew that his life was in jeopardy. That's what he thought. So he said to Sarai, okay, you tell them, I'm not reading, I'm just talking, you tell them that you're my sister. See, so now I used the term last week, snakes in the money bag. So a lot of times when we do stuff, we cause issues. So when that's already setting things up now. Sarai, you know, no woman want to, you got a husband, and here your husband is giving you over to Pharaoh or king, or, you know, it doesn't make a difference who we get. It's wrong. So Abram told her, just say you're my sister so I won't be killed. And Pharaoh, because he didn't have to, now he could have just taken her. But what he did, he blessed him with donkeys and sheep and money. You know, he blessed him. Now, a lot of people think that that was the blessing of Abraham. But that was not the blessing of Abraham, because God was not in that. So what happened in verse 18.
Well, you know what?
Uh-huh.
God spared them because he put the affliction on them. And I think that this we need to talk about Abram's character, because Abram was not a man of God. He wasn't practicing he wasn't following his people as he should. Remember, his father was a pagan. But Abraham was really a weak man, but yet he was chosen by God. And even though he was weak, even though he was a liar, even though he wasn't automatic, you know, obedient from the beginning, he was still favored.
Right. He was from am I saying that right? Chaldeline, which is a city in Babylon, which is a city that
was Terah, was his father.
Excuse me. Okay, so that's true that he was a weak man, right? But still, you know, even in your weakness, to just give your wife away to another man, you know, that's a hard thing. You know, when you look at that, that's real hard. But yes, he has not been. He's been weak in that time, and yes, he was not. He was chosen by God, and he hasn't received the blessings of Abraham. I mean, you know, he hasn't received his blessings yet. So his character, yes, was suspect. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and silver and gold. But that was not the blessing. That was not the blessing. And so what happened, they received a whole lot of they received maidservants and, you know, and sheep and all of that. And Lot and Abram, eventually, the land was too, with all that they attained, the land wasn't enough to support both of them. Now, this is one issue that they had. They didn't have issues before, but now here's the issue. So because they had all of this stuff, they had to separate because of they had strife amongst the herdsmen. So they separated. And when they separated, Lot, Abram asked, he gave him the option of which, he said, if you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. And so Lot decided, he looked over at Sodom and Gomorrah, and he seen how beautiful the land was, and it looked like it was settled and everything, and so he went that way. And Abram pitched his tent to the other opposite side of here. So what happened, there was a big battle, and Kedalama and Lot was captured. And one of the people that escaped and came and told Abram that your brother was captured. And so what happened, Abram got some soldiers together. He gathered his men, I believe it was 300 and something, and they went after Lot. And when they got him, they took all the good, Lot's goods and stuff, and all the stuff that he had attained, and they brought him back. And so after the battle of Kedalama, there was a king that came out to meet Abram. And it was in the king's valley, Shevad. And the king that came out and meet him was king of Salem. And this king was Melchizedek. And what he did, he brought out, I'm in verse 14, 18. King Melchizedek, he brought out bread and wine and was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Now, when God say, and in the English language also, when it says I will, it doesn't denote that I will means that he blessed you right then. It means a future blessing. Mm-hmm. So this is God showing up. And before we go any further, let's go with your Hebrews. So we can get a fix on who this Melchizedek person is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Hebrews 7.
Hebrews 7?
Time to get Hebrews 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave a tenth, part of all first being translated, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace,
mm-hmm.
without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning or days nor end of life,
wow.
but made like the Son of God, mm-hmm. remains a priest continually.
Mm-hmm.
So here is your answer of who Melchizedek is.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many people that have no father, no mother.
Mm-hmm.
See, so, and this is Jesus. Now, what happens mm-hmm. is
okay,
God,
wait a minute. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. So
mm-hmm.
you're saying that Melchizedek was Jesus?
Yes.
No. That's what you're saying?
Listen to verse seven. It says.
Okay, and chapter seven. What verse are you in?
Verse one, chapter seven. For this Melchizedek,
okay.
King of Salem, you see that what it says?
Right.
Priest of Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth, part of his first being translated, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father,
right.
Without mother, without genealogy, have neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Okay, your question?
Okay, but he was not Jesus.
I think he was a type
well, who
of
you?
God.
He was a type. Just like we say that Adam was a type of Christ because he was
right.
The first name. But he was a type because when we talk about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they were, that's the Trinity together. Melchizedek was a type of Christ. He was like Jesus in his behavior, but he was not Jesus. We don't have Melchizedek doing the miracles of Jesus. We don't have, even in Isaiah, the foretelling of Melchizedek. This is just a reference to Melchizedek's character.
Mm-hmm.
Melchizedek isn't even in the genealogy of Jesus.
But, see, the thing is, there was an order established. And in this order, this is the order of Melchizedek, which is a priestly order. And so what happened is that Christ came to set up the order and as Melchizedek.
But that's man-made.
How's that man-made?
That's man-made. The order was man. The priesthood of Melchizedek, that's a man-made order, a man-made organization, just like we have man-made denominations and man-made type of churches and so forth, but he was not Christ. He never even claimed to be the Messiah. People look back at him now because of him being a great man, but for that time and what he did with Abraham, but he was not Jesus Christ.
No, I think that he was a type. Showing a type, he was showing God. I think in this right here was showing God. You know, basically Ancient of Days, no mother, no father, no. You know, I think that was a type. I don't think it was Christ. No, I don't think.
Right.
I don't think it either. I think.
Well,
that,
Answer this to me then. What is that impossible for Christ to come before time?
Yes,
I mean, God,
but then
God
if we look at it, if you're talking Christ came through a womb of a mother.
Right.
You know,
as
if you're talking about Christ. But
he came that way because that was to restore the kingdom. And
right,
he had to come that way to so that nobody, he wouldn't spook anybody. You know what I'm saying? So
right, I understand that. Mm-hmm.
So
well,
he had
he
to come just
that way because that's what the Lord said that he's the way that he would come. When we read Isaiah, we know exactly how Jesus is going to come, what's going to happen during his lifetime, and how he will leave, and how he wants to leave this earth. All of us in Isaiah. So, you know, just because we don't have the record of Melchizedek here as far as his mother or father does not mean that he did not have an earthly mother or father. It's What we have is a word is what is significant. So evidently, in my opinion, and that's strictly my opinion, I'm thinking that it's not significant. His parentage
Do you think this is a royal order? The order of Melchizedek is a royal priesthood?
Well, you know what? We know that when we look at Old Testament, especially the first five books of the Bible, we're talking about the Pentateuch. And all religion is based on Judaism, the Arab religion, which I can't think of right now. That's all based on the first five books: Christianity, Judaism, the Quran, the Torah, the Bible. You know, the first five books are the same. So, to answer your question, what was the question? To answer your question, I believe that like the Jews look at a priesthood of Melchizedek. In the Quran, there's reference to with the Muslims, the Arab nations. They talk about the priesthood of Melchizedek. The Mormon Church talks about the priesthood of Melchizedek. But as Christians, sure, we know there were things like that, and even during the Dark Ages, there were things where people were fighting for Christ, for Christianity, and calling it Christian, but it wasn't Christian. That was a man-made thing. When we're worshiping Jesus Christ, we're worshiping Jesus Christ in his simplicity, and just as he is, just the way that he was said that it was said that he was coming in Isaiah, the true and living God, that there is no other equal to him. Melchizedek might have been a good man. He may have been a type of Christ. Adam may have been a type of Christ, but they were not Christ. And who we worship as Christians, as born-again believers, as people who believe in the blood, believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again, believe that he is returning, believe that he will raise the those that are dead in Christ, believe in, the end times. We know that Jesus is it, the highest of all priests. Well, he is the prophet. He is the Son of God. He is the third person in the Trinity.
But what I want to do is we have a lot of numbers out here. Are there any more other comments?
Come on, people.
Any other comments? We have 678-708-631-716. Any numbers? Anyone like to make a comment?
Let's can you go to Hebrews 5? It says, therefore, since we have great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly, well, this is the end of 4, this is 14, verse 14. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. All right?
Did you say Hebrews
5:14? Let's go to verse 5. Every high priest, huh? Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5.
Verse what?
Every high priest is selected from among the men.
Minister Robinson, 5 what? They're asking, well, 5 what?
Hebrews 5.
Hebrews 5.
Uh-huh.
What verse?
Hebrews 5, verse 1.
Okay.
Verse 1, okay.
For every high priest.
Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray. Since himself is subject to weakness, this is why he has to offer sacrifice for his own sin as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming the high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he said to and he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Okay, so there was an order established.
But that's not saying that Melchizedek was Jesus.
I didn't say that right then. I said that was an order established
right
before before Christ came on the scene, which was the order of Melchizedek.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
but that
your
order.
Question?
Okay. So now, that order means like Melchizedek on the order. Is it like the Cadillac is in the same order as the Lincoln? You know, it's in the same class. It's in the same. It's like it. It's not like a capital O, like an organization. If you look at even the paragraph before that, if you go to Hebrews 4:14. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God." And then it goes on, like Melchizedek was, which you just read, Melchizedek was appointed. Melchizedek was the type of person that he showed kindness and that he was and that he was fair. He was the model of a high priest.
I see that. That's what I was reading before we got to five. So what you're saying is that Christ could not come before his appointed time when he came in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And what I don't understand is why wouldn't that be? I mean, if he's Christ, he can do what he want to do. He can move in and out of portals. There's nothing holding him from, you know, if he's assigned to come here at that moment.
Can I chime in?
But yeah, even Christ had an order. Who?
We have someone else. Someone else would like to make a comment. I don't know where it's coming from.
Great.
Okay.
This is Bishop Harris out of Chicago, Illinois.
Praise God.
All right. How you doing?
I'm good. And I'm listening to what's being said. And one of the reasons that he couldn't come at that time because it wasn't appointed. It wasn't time yet. But everything, there's a time and there's a season. It wasn't his season. And the thing is, there is a difference between being appointed and being called. He was born into the priesthood. The scripture says that these people are appointed. I'm appointed as a bishop. You're appointed as a pastor. Different ones are appointed. He was born into the lineage of being the original high priest. He was the Messiah. And at that point, that pretty much sums it up all right there. True enough. Yes, he could have come at any time, but it wasn't time. When the time came, then God allowed what needed to happen. There was a reason. There was a reason he was born at the time he was born. There was a reason he was born to who he was born. There was a reason that he died on the cross the time he died. And if we're going to get historical, there's even a reason as to why he was on the earth, the amount of years that he was on the earth. So everything, there's a time and there's a season. And it was his season when he came to fruition. The same way it is in our lives. There's a time and there's a season. There's a season for everything under the sun. A time to live, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. And you can't move until it's God's time. It's just that simple.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let me ask you something, Bishop. Who do you say that Melchizedek is? See, now if you look through the book, the Bible, Melchizedek, his name appears quite a bit. Bishop?
Okay. Melchizedek was someone called. He was a high priest. But to be totally honest with you, and this is no disrespect, I'm not going to say argue, but I don't go back and forth about the Bible because I don't find that to be helpful to those that are listening. This is more so a theological subject. Melchizedek was a high priest. True enough, he was mentioned a lot in the Bible, but he was a high priest. He was known for what he was known for, and that's pretty much all it is. People called him the Messiah. People said he was the Messiah, but throughout studying the Bible, realizing it, looking at it, we realize and we know who the Messiah was.
Right.
We know that Christ was the Messiah.
Right.
I mean, if we want to play devil's advocate, we can go back and forth. We can look at theology, what theology says. But the truth of the matter was he was just a high priest, another high priest that was appointed and that was called. But I'm not going to debate and go back and forth with the word because the Bible says in all that getting understanding, and it says agree with your adversary quickly. And I don't believe that it's edifying to the body to go back and forth. So I'm not.
No.
What's edifying is knowing who the Messiah is, why the Messiah came, and why he's here. Because we all in the same business, the business of soul saving. You know?
Amen.
And the thing
Amen.
Is, I don't believe in taking nothing away and adding nothing to it. And when we go
Amen.
Back and forth, I mean, if we're in a class and we're a bunch of theologians, that's fine. But other than being that, I don't find it edifying. Edification to the body is something that's going to help people. And right now, we're in a dying world. And not to jump off the subject, but we got ridiculous deaths here in Chicago. Young people dropping dead left and right and falling like flies, gunfire like crazy. So I find more things than finding one point of who a person was and debating that. I'd rather debate how we going to get these people saved, how we going to win these young black men back, what we going to do to help put them on the right road and get them where they need to go.
Right.
That's a debatable
mm-hmm.
issue. How do we get Christ out of the four walls of the church and onto the streets where he belongs?
Right.
Again, that is my point. Sorry if I was disrespectful.
No.
You're okay. You're okay, Bishop. You're okay.
And Minister Bill, and God bless you, Bishop. Minister Bill, I believe that the high priest was brought in for Abram was talking about the 10%, talking about the tithing, talking about when you get something, this is what you give the high priest. This is what our tithing is about, giving what our first fruit is back to God. And I think that's what it was saying in Genesis when Abram had gave, you know, his 10%, so to speak, to the high priest, showing us as an example that's what we should do also.
He gave
10%
of everything that he received from Egypt.
And whatever we get, we're supposed to give back to God.
Right. And when the other king came over, at that point, that's when Abram he had said that he would not take anything from the king, rather, because he had lifted his hand to God Most High and said that he would not take anything from him, because he might say that he made him rich.
Mm-hmm.
So Abram, at that point, Abram had been blessed, and I believe his name was changed to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarai, her name was changed to Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get back to my chapter here. Okay.
Amen.
That's in, let me see why not.
Genesis.
Yeah, I'm in Genesis. Okay, now, one of the things that happened along the route was when they received the Egyptians, Hagar, she was one of the snakes in the money bag, because had he not taken the gifts from Pharaoh, Hagar, she would have never been aboard with Sarai and Abram. So that's one of the problems that exists even to this day, you know, because Ishmael came on. And when Ishmael came on, that created a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, Sarai, because she was barren, she had asked her husband to go in and, you know, go with Hagar. And when she did that, she conceived, and what happened? Ishmael came. And that wasn't the promise that God had said.
Mm-hmm.
So when God promised, when he made the covenant with Abram, he had told him that he will receive a son, because Abram was trying to have one of his servants become the heir, and God said no, that he would give him an heir, and the heir was Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, through it all, Abram becomes the father of many nations.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but to this day, the two nations are feuding back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. which is the Islamic and the Jewish nation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a question that I want to throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, someone's out there can answer that, then, you know, this is a study just as well for me also.
Mm-hmm.
Because Abraham was not Jewish, how did the Jewish heritage come about? You know, because he came from Babylon, and, you know, so anybody have an answer for that? Any of your theologians out there have an answer for that?
But you know what? There were other people. Are you meaning is it genealogy of Jesus Christ?
No. I'm saying in the Bible it says that Abram came from Chaldean. I can't pronounce that. And that's not a.
Well, he was born to an idol worshiper. His father, Terah,
right.
He thought that's what he did for a living. But
mm-hmm.
but the Lord can use anybody. Like, if you look in the genealogy of Christ, there are others that are in the genealogy, like Ruth and like Rahab, who were not Jewish but chose to worship the God of Israel and chose to honor the laws of Israel. And therefore,
mm-hmm.
they were engrafted just like we are.
Mm-hmm.
And showing God can use anyone.
Right. And
when we turn our hearts to God,
we can be used. Exactly. You're right. So
Abraham was a chosen vessel to be the father of many nations. It doesn't matter if he came from the left or from the right. God saw in him more than his exterior showed. He went right to the depth.
And God is setting the path for, I mean, our path and our life is already set. So if we can just have faith enough to reach out and believe what God has for us and understand the blessings that he has already given us and walk into that light. See, that's the biggest thing with a lot of us is, and even myself, when I say a lot of us, I'm not excluding me. It's to understand what God has for us. And a lot of times we get easily swayed through the rigors of life and the things that go on in our day-to-day. And sometimes we miss the mark. And a lot of the biblical people in the Bible have missed the mark, but mm-hmm. they've stayed on the path. And that's what we have to realize, and that's what we have to do is to stay and keep walking on that path that God has already given us. He's already ordained us and given us our path, and we just have to stay with it and stay strong and faint not and hold on to what he has promised us. And that's the key to walking in the spiritual walk. And we got to help each other, you know, and that's the main mm-hmm. thing is to help each other.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
Help each other. Stay in the presence of God. Pray.
Amen.
Read his word, because if you love his word, you'll love him. And the promises that he has in there, yes, it's for us, but it doesn't stop with us. And just like Bishop said, we need to be out there, beyond the four walls,
amen.
Reaching those that are in the darkness, bringing them into the light through loving kindness, lifting up Christ, and he'll do the drawing. Because Christ, God, the Trinity, everything, every part of God already knows the ones that's going to accept him, but it's up to us to present him,
mm-hmm.
to present
amen.
God.
Amen.
So you see,
I think
a lot of times on Sunday,
because we get caught up in
our churches should be filled on Sunday with those that are lost, but a lot of times we get so caught up into getting to church and getting in our seat, and we forget during the week we should have been witnessing and bringing
mm-hmm.
people to God. And like the bishop said, there's a lot of people out there, and you know, not only in Chicago but here in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
there's so much going on, and we have to work together as the body of Christ
mm-hmm.
and understand what our mission is, and that's to save souls and to win souls to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good tool, and you know, sometimes we like me, I like to throw stuff out there and see, you know, where we land. But this is a good tool because there are a lot of people listening, some
mm-hmm.
Saved and unsaved, and you know, this is a tool to stir us up, get us thinking,
amen.
And get us to understand, you know, what the word is and what's in the word. And even I throw Melchizedek out there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are going to look up Melchizedek and going to start reading.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and so I accomplished what I wanted to do, was get people stirred up and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, one thing, I read the Bible through, and, you know, I never knew much about Melchizedek. But
mm-hmm.
when I started reading about him and studying him, I find different things about him. And I find him throughout the Bible. So me throwing this out here was good because it stirred up. And I'm not doing this to get argument, but to
mm-hmm.
get people to research
mm-hmm.
and get a better understanding of who's out there, you know, who's in the Bible. Done.
It's good conversation.
So,
amen. Amen.
Yeah,
amen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's good conversation.
So when you hear me, I'm not coming on to start anything, but I want people to get stirred, you know, because you know Melchizedek is a person in the Bible that you don't hear much of.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, you don't hear people generally talking about Melchizedek and the order of Melchizedek. So you know, there's a lot of people. If there's a lot of people listening,
mm-hmm.
Look in the Bible, you know. and reference. You can Google it, and you can find all the scriptures that he's in. And I believe I had mentioned them last week, the different scriptures that he was in. So look him up and do your homework and get stirred, because that's what it's about. I like Bible study. I like to, you know, teach or be taught. See, mm-hmm. So I thank the bishop for coming on,
mm-hmm.
and I would love to know what part of Chicago he's in, because I frequent there, and I'd like to meet him one day. So hopefully he'll come back on again.
Mm-hmm. Well, he is one of our speakers that come on from time to time. Bishop Harrison out of Chicago. He is one of our speakers. And, you know, the beauty about this blog is you just never know who's listening. And I can see the numbers here, but many are listening, but some just listen in and they want to be fed. You know, they're constantly feeding out. Sometimes you want to be fed. So just listening in and never saying anything. But the beauty of it is everything comes out of love. You know, as brothers and sisters, as men and women of God, everything comes out of love. This is a tool for us to grow as well as those who are listening. Amen?
Amen.
And can I just say this, Elder John? And for those that are listening that are not saved, know this, that the body of Christ, us that was having conversation, there is no division. It's just learning.
Amen.
And opening
Amen.
Up our understanding. And like the bishop
Amen.
Say, in all you're getting, get understanding.
Get
and
understand.
We, yes. So.
And another thing he mentioned also, which I think was key, is how do we get out of the four walls and into the streets? Because we have our purpose is basically to help others become saved. Those that are lost become saved. And I thought that was a key question. How do we get out of these four walls and into the streets? Because that's what a harvest is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a harvest. That's when those that need us most. How do we get out there and spread the word about Jesus Christ? So that's key. That is key. What our purpose is key. We're here for one purpose, and that is to spread the good news.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, one of the things is that when we do go out, we have to be prayed up and not be fearful, because God didn't make us fearful. So we have to understand it. And we're in a world that there's a lot of things going on. I mean, you know, you all you have to do is walk out there and you see. But you know, we can start with first. If you're not one of those that can just go right out into the street and witness, then what we could do first thing is witness on our job. And I don't mean while you're working. I mean, you know, lunchtime or in the parking lot when you're on your way home or something like that, or maybe exchange a phone number and invite them to your church. You know, there's ways. We have ways that we pass out cards and invite them to the church. And there's all kind of ways to witness and then always have an ear open. So, you know, a lot of times people have so many problems, and what they do, they spill their problems right out to you. But you have to have an ear to hear and know that when the time that they, whatever they say, then you step in, but be prayed up and ready to have an answer for them, you know. And a lot of times that's what I do when I hear somebody complaining and about certain things. Then I have already in mind what to say, because you know who you work with, and you know the situation sometimes, what they're going through, and you just share the word of God with them. And but you also have to live right. You know, you can't be
that's
up and
the
down,
key right there,
you know, because if you're up and down and your life is not godly, then you know, they're not going to want to do what you do if you're not doing right. So if you're walking right and your light is shining, then you know, you automatically, a lot of times, they'll come to you.
That's
you know?
The key. because I don't walk around saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. I just walk and live my life, and my life is in Christ. And so as I'm walking, as I'm journeying through, then if conversation, when conversation, sometimes I strike up the conversation, but sometimes I'll wait for conversation to come into that place. Because sometimes we can be, we have to be so wise. Because I remember when I first got saved, we have to be so wise. I used to push Jesus down people's throat, but now I present Jesus in love, you know. So if we just walking day by day, not thank you Jesus and hucking and dancing, holy dance through the aisles of the apartment store, department stores and stuff, but to just show Christ in our lives, and the light will shine and give us an opportunity.
I was riding on the bus when I was living in Los Angeles, and no, it was here in Atlanta because I was saved, and a guy just jumped up out of the blue, and he started babbling. Now, this is a whole bus full of people. He started babbling about he was tired of the Secret Service saints with the little Bible and this and that. And when he got off the bus, the police were waiting on him. See, so that wasn't a good way to witness. I mean, he just jumped up and started hollering out. And, you know, right there. And then after the police released him, you know, I went over and talked to him, you know, to let him know how to witness, you know. And I'm not saying I'm the perfect witness, but, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes. I did the same. When I first got saved, I was so excited that some of my old friends and we used to tell old friends, I told them, don't call me no more. I'm saved. You're not, you know, which was wrong. So, you know, instead of me gradually letting them see the improvement, how God is molding and shaping me. And see, now when they see me, there's a difference. They see a difference because they don't see me so excited to the point where I run them off, but they see me more moderate and you know, willing to share, you know, in a correct way. So that's the thing. We have to know what to say and how to walk. We can't walk all helter-skelter. And then, you know, we can't look like the world either. You know, if we're out there and we got our pants hanging down, then nobody will know that you're born again. See, so we can't. And I know we made mistakes and stuff like that, and nobody's perfect, and we've done things that will cause people to question who we are. You know, some of us are tatted up and some of us are this way. But, you know, God said, come as you are. See, so once you get saved, there's nothing you can do about that, but you can walk and let your light shine. And those that see you, they'll know that there's been a change in you. See, so that's the key, is to show change in you. But if we go out there and we're mimicking the world, you know, hanging out at the bars and the clubs, then nobody will know who we serve. You know, so we have to position ourselves, but yet still be ready to be a great witness, you know, have something to say. Amen?
Amen. 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 You know, there's a key, people don't know how much you know until you show how much you care. Everything is out of love. Everything is out of love. Our Christian walk, everything that we do is out of love. And if we don't show love, then we are not exhibiting, you know, the real, you know, Christianity toward one another. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Minister Robinson, we're looking at 90 seconds before we get ready to close out. We do enjoy this. We enjoyed your topics you brought.
Amen.
We thank each and every one of you for tuning in. Keep in mind, we're here each and every Wednesday from 7 to 8 o'clock. And we would like to invite you back again. This is a spiritual, healthy, interactive Bible study. And we have just, you know, there are so many that are from different parts of the state. And we do thank you for tuning in and being a part of this. We're going to have a short prayer, and then we're going to close it out. Amen. Father, we thank you for all the men and women of God that come together just to expound on the Word of God. We pray, Father, that you would build us up in every areas where we're torn down and strengthen us where we're weak. Father, we pray that you would bless each and every hearer that was a part of this, even those who was not a part. Father, bless them, Lord, and let them be a blessing to others. And we just ask that you would just guide us and direct us in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to close now, and we do thank you once again. And remember, we love you, but God loved you most. Amen.
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 Not just